Please turn in your Bibles to this morning's scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. If you would like to follow along using a pew Bible, you can find the passage on page 814. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord, to the harvest, to send out laborers into this harvest." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a pleasure to be here and to share with you God's word, and also to share with you what God is doing among the Haitian community. And I'm glad to be here with the team from El Shaddai Church, and also my wife Sharon is here, and my two girls, Sarah Joy and Grace. I remember when they were maybe 1 year old, they came here, and on our board by Brian Clifton, and when we came to greet you. So it's been a long journey that we've been together working to preach the gospel in Haiti. And without you, we could not accomplish all that God has done. And you are a part of it. And we just want to say thank you. Thanks for your partnership. And thanks always being there with us in good and bad time. Especially in time as this, as today. Haiti need your prayers. And we go into very difficult situations. But we know that our God is able. So there is hope for this world. So as I share throughout the scripture, I will give you a glimpse of what God is doing among the Haitian community in different phases. But today, as we read from God's word, we see that there is hope for this world. And the world is coming here into the United States, and so are the Haitian community. There's over 210 nations in the U.S., and I believe in your community there are many different people groups that are living in your communities. And sometimes you don't speak their language, and sometimes you don't even understand each other. But the world is coming in America. Today there's over 2 million Haitians in the United States alone. And they are leaving Haiti because of the way the situation is at this moment. As you know, that the president was assassinated. Even now we don't have a president. And after the assassination of the president, the gangs take over the island. And most of the part are very, very unpractical. And so therefore the people are living in fear and worry. Before they were living in fear of voodooism and witchcraft, but now they're living in fear of the gangs and tomorrow. When I came last time I was here, the unemployment rate was 85%. Now it's 95%. And there's no job everywhere. But we pray that God will intervene, for we know that he is able. So there's hope for this world. And as we look at our text this morning, and as our sister read for us, I believe that our challenge today is that God will use this church, as he has done in the past, to transform this world by following the strategy that Jesus used in his ministry while he was on earth. Our God is sovereign, is in control. As I read through the book of Genesis and I came at the end to see after the brothers of Joseph sold him and they were worried, now Joseph is in power, what's going to happen to them? And Joseph told them, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And God is in charge. Our God is in control. And our God has put us in the place where he put us for a purpose, and so that we could be a light for him. So the author of this gospel is no other than Matthew. Matthew was one of the 12 apostles. He was a Levi. And he was, before the Lord called him, he was a tax collector. So the book of Matthew was recognized very early in the church as the first gospel. It was written to encourage more Jews to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Also to teach them how to enter into a relationship in the kingdom of God. And we see here in the text that was read in chapter 9 is a summary of the Galilean ministry of Jesus Christ. As you know, Galilee was a very large community of over 200 cities and villages that surrounding 40 miles wide and 70 miles long. And those cities, sometimes they have big walls that cover them. But also the villages were small towns and where Jesus will go and to minister and to reach the people. But as we look at in chapter 9, we see in verse 6, Matthew reveals the power of our God. He reveals that Jesus is God by showing that he has power to forgive sin. Because as you read in the book of Isaiah, only that God has power to forgive sin. Then if you go to verse 18, it shows that he has also power over disease and even death. And he had even power to raise someone from the dead. So this text, as we read it, it reveals to us three truths that should help us as we reach the world around us and as we can apply it and be reminded. And the first truth we see it in verse 35. And verse 35 alone can take us an hour to study it together. But I'm not going to keep you that long. But in that verse, we see that it shows and reveals to us that Jesus is the only hope for this world. Jesus is the only hope. And he says, as Jesus went to all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. We see that Jesus traveled to the communities. He went where the people were. We see that Jesus did not wait for the people to come to him. And so therefore, we also must go to where the people are, and so that we can reach them for the glory of our King. Do you know your community? Some of us, we don't even know the community in which we are living in. But I believe if you do a study and a statistic, you will see that there may be different nations, different people from different communities that are living in your neighborhood, sometimes you not may aware of. But Jesus did not wait for the people to come to him, but he go to where they are. And this is why I love to partner with St. Andrew's Community Presbyterian Church. Because you can't go to Haiti because you can't speak the language, but you empower us and so that we can go to the communities and so that we can preach and teach the message of the gospel to them. And today, because of our partnership, I remember 15 years ago when we came, there were maybe 20-some churches that have been planted. But today, because of our partnership together, there's over 200 churches right now have been planted by Ashaddai Ministries in Haiti. Over 44,000 people are worshiping today, giving God praise and glory. Because of our partnership, there's over 300 men in training. There are men in training even in Canada. We target the Haitians there. There are even in Dominican Republic where we target the Haitian community there. The Haitian church is growing. Even in the midst of trials, in the midst of problems and persecution, God continues to reveal himself and continue to show that there is no way of salvation but through his son, Jesus Christ, who is the only hope for this world. But we see in this text, Jesus' method was not, it was reaching the people, but he went out after them. He did not sit back and waiting for them to come. I like the way Luke put it in chapter 19, verse 10. Luke said, "For the Son of Man, he's come to seek and to save which was lost." He did not come just to sit down and relax, but he came. And if you look at the whole gospel, you see that Jesus, he went to the cities, he went to the villages, he went to the countryside, he went to the synagogue, he went into the mountains, he went all over by the seashore, he went even to the homes. Sometimes he stay in the boat. He even go to the graveyard, to reach the lost. You remember the man that was possessed by a demon, and Jesus even went there so that the power of the gospel can be revealed in this man's life. There is no place that Jesus will not go to minister. And as Jesus traveled the communities, but he ministers in three ways. Not only that he healed, but also he taught and preached the gospel. He was teaching in their synagogue. It was understood that the synagogue was were deployed during the Babylonian exile. It was from that time that where it was the center of the community of the Jewish people's life. The synagogue was a place of worship. It was like a town hall. It was like a courthouse. The synagogue was usually located on a hill by a riverside and was fully frequented by people. And sometimes it was open, and the synagogue was often identified by a long pole that was high in the air, so that much people, and like a church steeple today, so that people could see it from afar and come to hear the teaching and then the preaching and the teaching of the word. And Jesus, as his time was in the synagogue, he used that strategy in order to minister to the people. Because as you go to the synagogue, if there was a visiting rabbi, they will give them the opportunity to share. And Jesus used every opportunity he had to preach and to teach and to equip the people about the gospel of the kingdom. How many opportunities that he has given you? Because the place in the synagogue when Jesus went, it was a place of instruction. It was the public school and the seminary where the Jewish boy were trained in the Talmud. But today, there are many opportunities that God has given us, but sometimes we don't take them. Why he placed you where you are, at your job, at the opportunity that he has given you, is so that you could be a light for him in this, that world. We see Paul follow Jesus' example if you study the book of Acts. In Acts, you see in chapter 17, and then as he went by, he went to all the different synagogues, and he was doing the same thing that Jesus was, teaching and explaining to them that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the one that they were waiting for.
But as he went to the synagogue, but not only that he instruct and teach them, but he also preached to them the gospel of the kingdom. He was proclaiming the word of God. There is a difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching sometimes is there, you pass the content in which that was the primary focus so that your student will be able to take note and understand the content. Sometimes it does not move you to action. But preaching is content, by content instruction, but also it gives you a time for you to announce where you will depend for the listeners to give you feedback or to hear and to apply what they have heard. So preaching is the point by which it's become personal. And so Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and so that people will know that he is the Messiah. He is the one that they were waiting for. He was proclaiming that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can enter into a relationship with the Father except through him. That's what he said in Matthew 26, verse 28, that this is my blood in the covenant which is poured out for your forgiveness. He was proclaiming the good news of salvation so that every citizen will know that there is no other way, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But today, that's not what they teach in our schools. Today, they show that there's many different ways to enter into relationship with God. But we see that Jesus, as he go to the different communities, he was doing three things. He was teaching, but he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. But also he was healing. But let's spend a little time here in the gospel of the kingdom. I like the way Paul said it. Paul said there is power into the gospel. There's power in the gospel to change people's life. There's power in the gospel because in the gospel, Paul said it, I receive what I have given to you of first importance, that the gospel is that Christ came and lived on earth. And he was persecuted. He was judged. And he was condemned. And he died. But his death was for our sin according to the scripture. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And the power that raised him from the dead is the power that lives within us. No matter we are from Haiti or Jamaica, we have the same power. We have the same Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love this church. Yes. So I can go on and on. Amen. Amen. The same power that God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so Jesus was going preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So many churches today, they don't preach the gospel anymore. The preaching try do it on your own. But the gospel teach us that there's no way we can save ourselves. We needed a Savior to come, for he had to be God. And he also had to be man. Because only God can satisfy God. Only God can satisfy the justice of God. Jesus is eternally God, and he's eternally the Son. And Jesus is eternally, his death can satisfy God for eternity. And so therefore, our salvation is secure in him. But when he come, not only he was preaching, but also he was healing every disease. So we see that his ministry was holistic. And so that's why I love El Shaddai Ministries, because our ministry of what God has sent us is very holistic. Not only we preach and teach and equip and establishing churches, but also when the felt need of the people arises, that we use that opportunity to minister to them, and so that we in turn can show them the love of God in a very practical way. I remember one of our churches here who support us. One time they sent a medical doctor to be with us. And 1 week before the doctor was working in an emergency center, He faced a case that he never faced before. He had a young girl who was pregnant in the Philippine tube. And as that girl was pregnant, and then the baby died and had an infection, and 1 week before, he was able to do research and to find the proper medication to give to that girl here in the emergency system. And then the following week, he was with us in Haiti, where we have no electricity, where we have no system to find what type of disease it was. And then while he came, they brought a little girl. And this girl who became pregnant, the parents did not know. And she got an infection. And the same symptoms that he just dealt with a week ago was the same symptom that that young lady had. Then he was able to have that medication and was able to give it to her, and then to see the healing that occurred in this young girl's life, and then to see as the leaders, because as you come to our clinic, you go and receive medication, but before we send you home, you have to go to the last room where the pastors are waiting to give you the gospel, to point you to the real physician. And then they point her to Christ, and her parents come to know Christ, and because of the way that God have healed her, so our whole community come to hear the gospel, and their life were transformed. As he was healing, it was a means to preach the gospel. And as we are ministering to the whole felt need, it's also a means by which we preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many have come to know him in this way. We had a young man who was very sick, and his name was Fanes. Fanes was paralyzed almost all of his life because he was a devil worshiper, and they have sent an evil spirit against him. And the demon possessed him and caused him to be paralyzed. And then we sent a pastor in the community of Mirbalet to plant a church. And I'm talking about something that just happened 2 months ago. This man was paralyzed for so many years, who was demon possessed and who could not walk. And as the pastor went to his home and pray and preach the gospel to the family, and this young man, as in the name of Jesus, as the pastor pray, the demon flee.
Amen.
And when the demon flee, this young man was able now to stand, and he was able to walk, and now he is a vibrant member of that church, worshiping God, giving God praise. And my friends, there is power in the gospel. In John 9, there was a man who was born blind. The disciples were asking why this man was born blind. But Jesus said to them, he was born blind so that the nature of God's work can be displayed in him. When the world see the miracle and the power of God manifested, and they will turn their eyes from their evil work and to turn their eyes on the one who can change them, who is Jesus alone. But Jesus is the only hope for this world. I stop here, verse 35. I can go on for an hour there as I share. But when you look at verse 36, he says that not only Jesus is the only hope for this world, but in verse 36, he says that Jesus has a tender heart. He said that when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. As you look at it in the original language, you'll see that they were harassed or confused. When Jesus saw the multitude that was following from place to place, he saw their anxiety to be instructed and to be saved. He was moved with compassion. He had pity on them. People burdened with religion and doctrine of the Pharisees, and even the Pharisees did not know the way. They were sinking down under their ignorance, their weight of their tradition. They were neglected, those who ought to be their teachers. The faithful shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, day and night was with his flock. He defended them. He had compassion. To have compassion is to move with pity, move with pity from the innermost bowel of your movement, from your heart, that you can't let the situation remain the way it is. And Jesus was moved with compassion. So the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. But we are living in a broken world, where they have no shepherd, where they have no master, where they have no one to guide them, where they are living without hope, destroyed by sin, and they are destined to eternal punishment that lead to eternal death. But that touched Jesus' heart. When I look at my nation, Haiti, it is a nation where I share there's no president. There's over 66 gangs take over the island. There is chaos. Vodouism continue to prevail. On top of that, earthquake. Just 2 weeks ago, we just had another major earthquake right there in the city of Jeremy. Hurricanes. There's no hope when you look at this nation. Sometimes they look confused and they don't know what to do. And so many of us have poured so much money into Haiti. And so sometimes now our response start to be another one. Sometimes because of that, we become indifferent. We don't want to act anymore. It's like we don't care anymore. Our heart does not move any longer. But our Lord is moved with compassion. No matter the need come 3, 4, 5 times, he's always there in the forefront. Sometimes when we look at the nations and the people around us, we're afraid of them. We're afraid of the darkness that they bring with them. We no longer have influence. We no longer have the influence that we should have. And sometimes when we look at them, with disdain, It's like we don't stand for the world anymore. We hate them. We hate the way they work. And so therefore, we don't want to associate with them. There was a church in Haiti wanted to stand against homosexuality. And so the homosexual were going to do a march. And then some leaders from the church stood up. And they killed 2. That's not the job of the church, to kill people. Our job is to preach the gospel. And the gospel, that's what will change people's life. Amen. We can say amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah, yeah, hallelujah too. But sometimes because of their sin, we are angry at them instead of showing the love of God. But Jesus was angry at the Pharisees, but also had compassion for the people, because there were people who were confused. They were harassed. They had no hope. And when we look at here in this verse, we also like sheep without a shepherd. We were like sheep without a shepherd. We are who we are because of the grace of God. Only those who believe can be recipient of this grace. A sheep without a shepherd is a sheep that is untended, who have no one looking after. It's a sheep that is unprotected. It's a sheep that no one is seeking after. And that's why we need to bring the gospel to this lost world. We are by nature children of wrath. We also were born into sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were spiritually dead. We had no spiritual life. We were alienated from God. We were under the wrath of God. We were by nature children of wrath. Our intellect was corrupt. Our mind, our will, our conscience was corrupt. Our emotion was for ourselves. But God in his love, while we were yet sinners, he sent his only son to die, to suffer, and he punished him in our stead. He was despised for our sin. He bore our grief. On the cross, God punished his own son in our place. He stood on the cross. He made him who knew no sin, that he died and buried and rose again. And the power that raised him is a power that is in us, anyone who believes in him. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Jesus is the only hope for this world. But also Jesus has a tender heart for the lost sheep. And he's asking us also to have his heart. Also, this verse can take an hour to share. But I want to just look at verse 37 and verse 38. Jesus, in his ministry, even though he was God, even though he was almighty and powerful, he depended upon the Father. He never went alone. So as we involve in his work, as we are seeking to reach this lost world, Jesus was totally dependent upon the Father. So should we. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into his harvest." Jesus was totally dependent upon God to bring forth the changes. He had full of compassion. He was able to see through their eyes. He was able to see their needs because of the people. They were hopeless. But no matter what he does, he always seeks the Father. He always prays to the Father. The one who is able to accomplish great things. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who can do the work. We are just his messenger. But as we go, we must depend on him and seek his face. And so therefore, he's calling us to work under his guidance. We need workers, need to pray earnestly for God to reach the world around us. We need people that will pray and to be involved in a ministry of prayer, and so that we will seek God's guidance in every step we make. We need to be people of prayer that will immerse ourselves into his field and to say, "Lord, what is my part in this work?" So many times, all the pastors and the leaders of the church working, and while we also have our part of it. And my prayer for you is that you will pray to the Lord of the harvest. Yes, the labor of you, but he is mighty. The things that look impossible for us is possible with him. So as you look at the crowd in your community, at your work, at your school, as you're in vacation time, do you pray for them? Do you pray that the Lord will change their heart? And do you pray with a heart of compassion that God will reveal himself to them so that the hope you have, they also might have it. When they die, they will spend eternity giving God praise and glory that he alone deserves. So my prayer for you today, as we live into this world without hope, that through us, they will see hope. And to us, they will see that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. For we, each of us, we have a story to tell. But may we ask God to give us a heart of compassion and to reach them for his glory. Let us pray. Quelle assurance, je suis sauvé. Quel avant-goût du ciel m'est donné. Né de l'esprit baptisé.
de feu. Créez de nouveau. Je vis pour Dieu. C'est mon cantique. C'est mon histoire. Alléluia. Je chante à sa gloire. Gloire, alléluia. Gloire au Sauveur. Gloire éternelle. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Story. This is my song, raising my Savior all day long. Yes, Lord, we know that you are the only hope for this world. Yes, you go by teaching, by preaching and healing, ministering to them holistically with a heart of compassion. And may, Father, you move with our heart with compassion. But, Father, as we go, may we not go in our own strength, but may we depend on you and seeking you and asking you, Father, to guide every step of the way. And so that as we go, we know that the change did not come by what we do, but it's come by what you have done. Oh, Lord, use us, each one of us, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.